This is DW News live from Berlin. Britain's Prince Philip dies at the age of 99. Husband to Queen Elizabeth II, he served as royal consort for nearly 70 years. We'll look back at a life of service by the Queen's side, marked by crisis, reinvention, and occasionally controversy. Also on the programme, Germany's Chancellor takes control as Berlin says it will override state leaders and impose tougher coronavirus restrictions. And the kickboxing kids of Thailand. Hundreds of thousands enjoy the sport, and for many, it's a route out of poverty. But doctors are warning that it can cause long-term damage. I'm Phil Gale. Welcome to the programme. Britain's Prince Philip, husband of Queen Elizabeth, has died at the age of 99. His health had been deteriorating over recent months, and he'd recently been released from hospital. The prince stood at the Queen's side for 70 years. World leaders have expressed their condolences, and people have gathered to pay tribute.
It's been a year filled with pain and isolation for those in the United Kingdom, with many losing loved ones in the coronavirus pandemic. But much of British society is pausing to give special attention to the passing of one man they hold dear.
I have a huge, huge amount of respect for the royal family. I'm quite emotional, actually, even just talking about it. The news broke as we were walking through Parliament Square, and my daughter and I just felt like we had to come down here and just be near the palace and safely, obviously, masks and everything else, and just be close to the royal family today.
Oh, the Prince Philip was a wonderful father and a real asset to British life. And I'm sure the Queen is grieving terribly. My wishes to her.
Very sad. I actually shed a tear. I felt really, we knew it was going to happen, but still very, very sad.
Sad. He's been with us all through our lives, as the pair have.
People in London make their way to Windsor Castle or Buckingham Palace to pay their respects to Prince Philip. The royal family urged people not to gather in large numbers due to the pandemic, asking them to make a charitable donation instead. Westminster Abbey's bells ring once every 99 minutes in tribute. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson says his thoughts are with the Queen, who has lost her husband.
So we mourn today with Her Majesty the Queen. We offer our condolences to her and to all her family. And we give thanks as a nation and a kingdom for the extraordinary life and work of Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh.
The government says flags will fly at half-mast all over the country until the prince's funeral. His death will also be marked by a 41-gun salute at noon on Saturday.
Let's go straight to the British capital then. DW correspondent Charlotte Chelson-Pill joins us from London. I know you've been to Buckingham Palace today. Tell us more about what you've seen, what people have been saying, Charlotte.
Well, as I'm sure you can imagine, tributes are pouring in, not just here in the UK, but from around the world. World leaders paying tribute to the Duke of Edinburgh as an icon of public service, his decades of public service by the side of the Queen, and also offering their condolences to the Queen and the whole royal family. I was at Buckingham Palace earlier. There were small crowds gathered, some people laying flowers outside the palace, but both the government and the palace here are recommending that people instead pay tribute to the Duke of Edinburgh on an online book of consolation. That's because it's not being encouraged that queues or large crowds gathered. Of course, the UK is still under COVID-19 restrictions at the moment, so there is a concern about any crowds gathering, but there has been a big outpouring of grief here for the Duke of Edinburgh, who we know has passed away just 2 months shy of his 100th birthday.
So how will he be remembered?
Well, he is widely remembered as a modernising figure after the UK rebuilt in the aftermath of the second world war. He'll also be remembered, as I said, and that's why so many world leaders are mentioning it, for his public service, his sense of duty and responsibility. Regardless of how you might feel about the royal family, there is no doubting his sense of duty over his decades by the side of the Queen. In fact, on their 50th wedding anniversary, the Queen herself described him as her strength and stay, talking about the sacrifices, or alluding to the sacrifices he's made in his years as a consort. Of course, he'll be remembered as well for his bright personality. A lot of people have been paying tribute to his sense of humour. And then, of course, it has to be said, he is also being remembered as someone who was known to have occasionally made some more controversial, more offensive remarks as well. Today, though, a lot of people paying tribute to him and the loss that his family will suffer. He was a husband for over 70 years, a father, a great-grandfather, and a grandfather as well.
Stay with us, Charlotte. We'll take a look at a couple of the tributes being paid to Prince Philip on social media, starting with the President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen. She's tweeted, "I'm saddened to hear of the passing of His Royal Highness, Prince Philip. I would like to extend my sincere sympathy to Her Majesty the Queen, the Royal Family, and the people of the United Kingdom on this very sad day." US President Joe Biden and the First Lady Jill have also sent their deepest condolences, saying the impact of his decades of devoted public service is evident in the worthy causes he lifted up as patron, in the environmental efforts he championed, in the members of the armed forces that he supported, in the young people that he inspired, and so much more. So, Charlotte Chelsea-Pill in London. This has been a difficult time for the British royal family, with the recent very public breakup with Harry and Meghan after that explosive interview with Oprah Winfrey.
Indeed. I mean, Prince Philip has been by the Queen's side for numerous tumultuous periods. The one that springs to mind, of course, is the death of Princess Diana in 1997. But yes, that interview that Harry and Meghan gave to Oprah last month was just the latest in a string of controversial moments. Meghan making some allegations about the way the palace treated her, her mental health, and of course a very explosive allegation suggesting racism from an unnamed member of the royal family. The palace then were forced to respond to that, something they weren't expected to do. Such was the level of controversy surrounding this interview. Prince Philip was in hospital when it was given, some people commenting that it was therefore insensitive for this interview to go ahead. But the Queen has weathered so many storms in the past. Few doubt that she'll continue to weather further storms, although very sadly going forward without Prince Philip by her side.
Charlotte Chelsea-Pill in London, thank you. Now, here in Germany, Chancellor Merkel is to reduce the powers of the country's 16 states to decide on coronavirus restrictions and centralise them with the federal government. A new plan will see Berlin take over when infection numbers rise above 100 infections per 100,000 people. The country is battling a devastating third wave, and regional decision-making has led to a confusing patchwork of regulations.
If I want to go shopping in Berlin, I can do that if I get tested beforehand. Here, I can do that right in front of the shopping center, and the test is for free.
The testing bird goes in and out, and the shopping can begin. With these rapid tests, many cities are loosening restrictions. Meanwhile, in other places, new COVID measures are implemented and curfews put in place. Everywhere in the country, the rules are different, leading to confusion for many. Nobody knows anymore what the regulations are right now. I think it's chaos, especially if you look at the different vaccination strategies. In Berlin, they're very good. In Lower Saxony, it's a disaster. It is just not working. Politicians are going back and forth and want to distinguish themselves with new proposals. But the scientists, they are doing a much better job. And they are very clear on what Germany needs right now. We look into our mobility analysis and we see that contacts have not been reduced as much as during the first lockdown. And that's where we need to come back to, because we're dealing with the new variant B117, which is spreading faster. The only way to do that is through a coherent, systematic, intensive and maybe shorter lockdown.
Here at the Chancellor's office, Angela Merkel is calling for a strict and nationwide lockdown. But federal states have the decision-making powers in the fight against the pandemic.
And these states have very different views, especially now that the election campaign has started. Armin Laschet from North Rhine-Westphalia and Markus Söder from Bavaria are fighting over the CDU's candidacy for Chancellor. Is the political management of the crisis going out of hand?
It is immer so, dass Politiker sagen,
politicians always say we have to make long-term decisions, but actually they are thinking of the next election. That's why they want to avoid uncomfortable, inconvenient decisions, decisions people won't understand. But that's a mistake, because in times of crises, people want security, and they are also prepared to take responsibility. But politicians have to lead the way. Straightforward COVID measures, that is what people are calling for here in Germany. Stricter laws could now ensure this. The political discussion continues.
We'll take a look at some other stories making headlines around the world now. The European Drugs Agency, the regulator, is reviewing reports of blood clots in four people who received Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine. The EMA is also expanding its investigation of AstraZeneca's shot to include reports of a bleeding condition. World leaders are increasingly concerned about a build-up of troops along Russia's border with Ukraine. There are fears of an escalation in eastern Ukraine's Donbas region. Observers say Russia-backed separatist rebels have repeatedly breached a ceasefire. The Kremlin says the current military build-up is a territorial right. A volcano has erupted on the Caribbean island of St. Vincent for the first time in 40 years. 20,000 people have been evacuated, but the coronavirus may complicate the operation. Neighbouring islands want only to accept people who have been vaccinated. Thailand has a rich boxing tradition and it appeals to all ages. There are an estimated 300,000 boxers under 15. And one of them, Tata, is a kickboxer. Now, some doctors are calling for a ban on children boxing, but Tata wants to punch his way out of poverty for his family.
Tata packs a serious punch, but at what cost? When I box, I always get bruises on my shins, so I have to put ice on them to heal. Tata's mother, who's often ringside during his fights, has mixed feelings about her 9-year-old son boxing.
I do feel pity for my son when he gets hurt. I know he's hurt when he's in the ring, but he always tries to hide it and tells me about it later. I feel bad, but I know this is what he likes, so I have to fully support him.
Thai lawmakers have sought to ban boxing for children under the age of 12, but to no avail. Research has shown extensive damage could impact children's intelligence levels and brain development. Boxing causes brain injuries, as we can clearly see from older boxers. Boxers are at a risk of memory loss, losing the ability to control their muscles, and Parkinson's disease. In 2018, a 13-year-old boy died after a Thai boxing match, renewing pressure on Thailand to ban children from the sport. But its popularity and revenue potential has kept it thriving. Tata, despite the risk, wants to cash in. One day I can afford to buy my mom a house, car, and earn more money for her.
The main income of the family at the moment comes from Tata. For example, the last fight he had helped pay off all my debts.
Until the law in Thailand changes, children like Tata will be allowed to put themselves in harm's way, waiting for a payday that might never come.
All right, that's it. You're up to date. More world news at the top of the hour. Janelle Dumoulin has your business update in just a moment. Have a good day.